Why the Nightbird Sings. This bird, whatever bird it is, sings on melodious and monotonous, and never tells a truth or a lie, not one. At its end, just as when it began, the nightbird's song is something else, no more true or false than wind or bells. And if you were the bird, your poem would be the song and where it comes from, yourself and a tree in the night. And the night would be a dark page, the ink that is your poem sinks in and disappears, almost like the sky out of which the bird sings. That's why. Synovial. Joint fluid, declared the physician, spilled from a sprung seal in the ultimate knuckle of my left index finger and gathered there, just shy of the nail, to a myxoid cyst, a substance also called digital mucus. Once a woman with beautiful hands assured me, there are very few physical pleasures without a little mucus. But when this doctor, with an expensive lancet, lanced it, there oozed from my myxoid cyst a viscid substance vastly more limpid than semen or vaginal secretions. It was like a luminous tear wept by a fly-sized golden butterfly. And when I touched the tiny glistening orb of it with the pad of my opposite index finger, it clung to the prince's whorls. And when I swirled it against the pad of my thumb, I knew my body will never repay me for the satisfactions I give it every day by moving. Oh, itty-bitty, pure, lubricious gobbet! Oh, most licentious and merest wit! Betwixt the pads of index finger and thumb slid so lusciously together the joints between my carpal and metacarpal bones thrummed a hum in the heart of every atom of my corpus, from just this side of corpsehood all the way back to the slither and divot of my conception, which the doctor, seeing the look on my face, closed his eyes before the lust and rapture of. Old Pan for Lost Boys. Wind-blown seed pod parasols lofted from a withered western salsify blossom drift past me in a cloud of silken tinkerbells, a shitload even. Forgive me. That's just the sort of word my brain seizes upon when I'm on the roof of the shack, sweeping off half a haystack of pine needles and wondering what on earth I'm doing here so far above the earth at the age of 70. The needles have woven themselves to a kind of raffia mat that would, if I were to step on it, sled off down the slanted steel beneath me and cushion my 7-yard fall hardly at all. So, sweep a little, step a little, sweep a little step. Then this blizzard of Brobdingnagian dandelion fluffs, and I think to myself, sweet heavens, Tinkerbells, before remembering that ill-timed words could break me too swiftly if I'm lucky. But my, oh my, how I fell at 12 for the sleek, bewinged, and leggy little Tinkerbell on the Disney-fied big screen. Just think how Tink wished woman-sized and flying could solve today's pine needle problem in a trice. True, trice sounds like a wisp of swimwear, but is in fact defined as to hoist and also as an instant of time, about as long as a hoisted fool would take to drop 20 feet. This is when my wife, not wishing to check on me through the window, checks on me through the window and perceives me propped a stair-like on a push-broom, and leaned a little too far out, trying to catch from the storm of salsify seeds a sail around me, just one. No, I'm not grinning. I'm concentrating. Nobody in the world ever wanted to grow up believing this much in words. Even a paltry man upon a push-broom, somehow still in love.